Good morning, everyone. So this morning is the final sermon of three on the Psalms. In the run-up to the services we'll be doing on the 13th, 20th and 27th of March. We're looking at Psalm 121 today. And I would describe Psalm 121 as a psalm of security and trust in the Lord, that we will be secure in him and that he is our source of help and provision. How relevant is that to the situation in the world right now, as we see the war in Ukraine? When situations become too big for us to cope with, Psalm 121 gives us some words to say. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Today is my last opportunity to preach before our first service in the hall on March the 13th. Next week, on March the 6th, Philip O'Connor is going to be preaching at the church, and he's from Willsborough Baptist Church over Ashford Way. And then on March the 13th, we'll be in the hall together. Change requires patience. Patience with one another. And I think in our church there is an understanding that in our own way, we all want to honour Jesus. We all want people to know him. We all want to continue to build on the loving fellowship that exists here already. I often rack my brains to think how on earth I can introduce people to Jesus in the modern day. For example, if I simply say God created everything, I'll often be met with, no, the universe created itself from nothing. If I say Jesus died for your sin, I might be met with, there's no such thing as sin, morality is relative. That might be your truth, Ben, but this is my truth. Truth is a very strong word to use. But the word truth is becoming synonymous with the word opinion. We live in a culture where we're all quite used to the fact that everyone has their own opinion. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. You have your conclusions, I have my conclusions. But we can't really say, you have your truth and I have my truth. Because truth needs to be in accordance with reality. And we all inhabit the same reality. We live in the same universe. We're bound by the same rules, things like gravity, the speed of light. And we can't simply say that there are multiple truths, because everything in our experience, and you can speak scientifically on this one too, shows us that there is only one reality. We can, of course, have different perceptions of reality, but none of us can claim that we have our truth and someone else has their truth, because we don't inhabit two separate realities. We only perceive them differently. But this is one of the challenges we have today, particularly on, say, with my generation, when it comes to talking about truth or sin or morality or anything that in the past may have been considered a black and white issue. Ultimately, I think our belief that we can choose the truth stems from the fact that we're able to choose almost anything in our current culture. We have access to more information than anyone has ever had access to. By the way, some of that information is not true. Other parts of it is truthful. Because we have so much information, because we have education, because we have money, because we have freedom, we have choice. And the more choice there is, the more we can tailor it to the individual. And so individualism becomes a more emphasised part of our daily experience. The church is not the only body in the land to struggle for members. So often I hear of golf clubs or WIs or all sorts of organisations saying we just can't interest younger people. Because we have such an individual sense of the truth and morality, I believe that upcoming generations are less likely to join structured institutional societies with a particular way of understanding the world, a set of understandings and beliefs, and are far more likely to join with movements. We might think of a movement like Black Lives Matter or the cause for the environment at the moment. There are many environmental bodies, but only the extremely committed are going to join those things. But many millions will join the general gist of the movement. People may be less likely to join a church or any society, but they're more likely to support a cause. And of course, before we had the institutional church, Christianity itself was a cause. And it wasn't even called Christianity for many centuries. Those who followed Jesus were called followers of the way, because they believed that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the way to God. And that really was essentially a Jesus movement, a splinter group stemming from the Jewish people. And in recent years, I've heard Christian preachers start to align the church more and more with the experiences of the second century Christians than with Christians of, say, 100 years ago in this country. So, around 100 years after the resurrection, the Christian faith was not a secure position to hold, and today Christians feel increasingly secure, not insecure in God, but insecure in society, because we don't have our traditional place in British society that we've had for many hundreds of years. For example, the practice of having bishops in the House of Lords is frequently challenged. Sometimes I wonder how much longer we will have an established state church. But you might say, but that's the Anglicans, Ben. We're Baptists. We're 17th century dissenters. We're rebels. Free church, free state, man. But more and more, their voice, the voice of the Church of England, is also our voice. It's the way all Christians are heard and represented in the highest circles in the UK. But with only 2% of 18 to 24 year olds identifying as Anglican, we have to ask ourselves plainly and uncomfortably, what is our plan for the future? We don't want to say, oh well, the older generations are still interested. To a degree, they are. But today, even amongst the over 65s, only 30% will call themselves Anglican. And remember, this includes anything from fully committed to nominal, such as I was christened in an Anglican church. That 30% of over 65s who identify as Anglican is down from 52% in 2002. In 2002, 18% of over 65 said they had no religion, but by 2018, just 16 years later, that had almost doubled to 34%. Many of you in this congregation will think that 2002 was yesterday, but much has changed and will continue to change in the same length of time ahead. And I recommend that as a church we need to take some decisive action about our future direction. And I think that decision needs to be made relatively soon and needs to be something that we're fully committed to. And that we should try to avoid compromise for sentimental reasons, not spiritual reasons. And in this next year, starting on March the 13th, when we have a different kind of service in the church hall, we're going to have the opportunity to experiment, to discuss, to plan and to pray together about where God may be leading us in the future. As we see what is going on in Europe, we should be aware and grateful of how precious and sacred our freedom is. And I do not want to take that freedom for granted, particularly when it comes to the freedom of practicing our Christian faith and being able to do it in a different way. Wouldn't it be awful to lose that freedom and then to look back and think, we never got round to it. We missed our opportunity. We didn't strike while the iron was hot. We never got our heads together. We never agreed on an actual direction. We never joined our giftings. At times when we see so much disturbance in the world, many of us will be feeling helpless. What can we do? I can tell you one thing that we could do, and we could do right now. We can come together as the members of the church that we are. The Bible says we are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We can come together to be part of a machine that brings life, an organic living temple that brings the light of Christ, a light which overcomes darkness. We can be a part of that body, the body of Christ, and do something positive for now in this time. There is nothing more beautiful in all of creation than God's church being God's church. That's why the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. If you feel shaken by the size of HBC's task, or if you feel shaken by the situation in the world, I'll read this psalm to you, Psalm 121. And I know I haven't gone through this psalm in a step-by-step way, as I usually do in my sermons with my 3 points, etc. But hopefully, as I read this psalm, it will help us to understand where our help comes from at this time. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So I've got only a little bit of application for today. The first thing is, we've got 2 weeks now until the first of those services. And I'd like you to pray for the 13th of March. And the first thing I'd like you to pray for is that you will have a heart that is willing to embrace those 3 services we're going to have and to be excited about them and to see them as an opportunity to do something different in the hope that it will guide us into a steady future direction. 2, pray for unity and direction in this church, which honours God and honours each other. And 3, please continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine at this time. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come this week at a very troubling time for the world, and we continue to lift up before you all that's happening in Ukraine, and we pray, Lord, for peace and an end to the fighting that's happening there at the moment. We pray, Lord, for the task that we have as a church here. Lord, we have an opportunity to be flexible, to do things differently, in the hope that you will show us new things and new ways for the future. Because we know, Lord, that you're always at work. And so we pray for your guidance at this time, and we submit our prayers and put our full trust in you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.